quiet tonight, God. I pray that your word would fall upon good soil and that you would speak to every single one of us and change our lives tonight, we pray. In your name, amen. Well, our title tonight is Prayers That Open the Doors of Heaven, Part 3. This is our final message in this series. And a few weeks ago, we looked at the passage from Matthew chapter 16. If you have your Bibles tonight, how many here brought your Bibles to church with you tonight? It's great. Can open up to Matthew 16. This passage relates to teaching us about how to pray in a specific manner that the doors of heaven would be opened over our lives. Matthew 16, verses 13 to 19. He asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And so they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Jesus tells us here that he will give us the keys to advancing his kingdom. That when we use these spiritual keys properly, it opens up the blessings and the victory of the Lord over our lives. This passage teaches us specifically that it is the avenue of prayer that causes us to use these keys effectively. That the doors of heaven will be opened over us. Right after Jesus teaches on the importance of us possessing these spiritual keys, he ties in the aspect of binding and loosing on earth and heaven. These are our prayers, whereby God causes the heavens to open up and he pours out his will and his word according to his purposes. Jesus connects our prayers of binding and loosing with these spiritual keys because he recognizes that there are hindrances. There are hindrances that are working against the kingdom of God being advanced in his church. In Luke 11, 52, Jesus gave a severe warning to the religious leaders. He said, "Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in, you hindered." There is an important key of spiritual knowledge that God wants us to possess. And according to this passage in Matthew 16, prayer is a part of this key of spiritual knowledge. It is one of the greatest avenues whereby the doors of heaven and the power of God are opened for us. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13, it says that God's people entered into a captivity because they had no knowledge. There is a spiritual dryness, a captivity that we must guard our lives against. May we be encouraged tonight to strengthen our weapon of prayer as we combine it with the key of knowledge, the Word of God. The enemy will look to distract you. The enemy will look to tempt you in other manners. The enemy is looking to keep the knowledge of the urgency of our prayers from us. In the last message, I just want to recap on the other 3 points really quickly. The first point was our prayers must reflect our revelation of who Christ is. Jesus asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am?" When Peter said, "You are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God," it signified his submission to Jesus as being Lord over his life. And Jesus commended Peter in this moment, saying, "Blessed are you, Peter. Blessed are you, Simon. For this revelation has come to you not from yourself, but from my Father who is in heaven." Peter had received the full revelation of who Christ was and his power. And Jesus asks the same question of each one of us tonight. He says, "Who do you say Christ is? Who do you say? How do you walk out your life? How do you live according to who Jesus is in your life?" Because the truth is that if we believe the scriptures, if we believe what the Word of God says about who he is, that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is our provider, that he is our peace, that he is able to save and set free and perform miracles. If we believe all of these aspects of the Word of God about who Jesus is, then our prayers should reflect a level of faith and expectancy according to the power and authority of who Jesus is. Our second point was our prayers must bind the spiritual powers of darkness. When Jesus was pleased with Peter's response, showing his submission to Christ, he then promised Peter that he would be given the keys of the kingdom. And right after this, he teaches on the aspect of prayer, of binding and loosing. The sinful nature and the attacks of Satan are clear to us in Scripture. The areas that we war against, they are clear to us in the Word of God. Jealousy, disunity, fear, a temptation towards ungodly entertainments. And we must pray, church, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that he would help us to bind these sinful natures, to bind these emotions and attitudes, the pride of life, the workings of Satan that are working against God moving in his church, God moving in this generation. I shared this quote from Leonard Ravenhill last time, but it bears repeating to us. He said that prayer is not a preparation for the battle. It is the battle. How many have ever experienced a battle against your prayer life? Our prayer life is the battle. There is a battle against your prayer life tonight, against you shifting your priorities, against you taking the time, against you getting on your knee, against you going to the secret place, against you raising your voice in faith and expectancy in prayer to the Lord. There is a battle against our prayers tonight. Ephesians chapter 6, it speaks about how prayer is our weapon against the flesh and Satan. The weapon of prayer is not a silent prayer a day to keep the devil away. The weapon of prayer is strategic and intentional. Our third point was our prayers must loose the word of the Lord. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The word of God, amongst other purposes, amongst other things for our lives, is meant to be a weapon of war in our lives. It contains the keys of spiritual knowledge that brings a deeper understanding to our lives of obedience, of godly living, have prayer and praise that are meant to be used as weapons. If prayer is one of the greatest avenues by which the Lord releases his power and his will, then one of the greatest prayers that we can pray is the Scriptures. Hebrews 4 tells us that the Word of God is alive and active. The Word of God is ready to move in our lives on our behalf. It is ready to produce life in our situations. Ephesians 6:13 says that we must put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, how many know that the day of evil is here? The day of evil is at your doorstep. The day of evil is around every corner that we look. It is all around us. And the Lord says, put on your full armor so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to pick up your weapons. You may be able to sharpen them. You may be able to use these divine weapons and stand firm, steadfast, immovable. You will be able to overcome the flesh and every spiritual power of darkness. The sword, the Word of God, is one of our greatest weapons that we need to sharpen, that we need to use in our prayer lives. Ephesians 6 ends by saying that after we have put on our full armor and taken up our weapons, we must be alert and we must pray in the Spirit at all times. You see, it is significant that the Lord connects our armor with the weapon of our prayers. Because when we combine our prayers with the breastplate of righteousness, with godly living, when we combine our prayers with a buckle of truth fitted securely around our waist, when we combine our prayers with the sword of the Spirit, with the Word of God, we will be able to stand and defeat every weakness of our flesh and every spiritual power of darkness that is seeking to come against our lives, that is seeking to come against the church of God. The Word of God is the weapon that we must sharpen, that we must prophesy, that we must use in our prayers, that God, by His mercy and by His grace, will loose His will according to His Word. The fourth and final point that I want to encourage us in tonight regarding the kinds of prayers that cause the doors of heaven to be opened over us is number four, how our prayers must always begin with, "Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name, O Lord Almighty." We all know tonight that prayer is much more than just asking for favors. It is much more than even asking for the forgiveness of the Lord. The book of Psalms is a beautiful book that has been given to us in the Bible. And it teaches us that a huge part of Spirit-inspired prayer is praise. It is giving adoration unto our Lord. When Jesus taught His disciples how to pray in Matthew chapter 6, the very first words that He admonished that they pray, the very first words that He teaches us about the manner in which we are to pray is, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." We acknowledge that God Almighty is in heaven. He is reigning and ruling at all times. We must give honor in our prayers. We must give respect, recognition of the power and the majesty of the name of the Lord first and foremost. There are times when we are in desperate need. We are in desperate situations where we need God to move in a great and mighty way on our behalf. Absolutely, there are very real and dire requests and situations that come into our lives. How often do our prayers begin with our desperate needs? How often do they begin with our desperate cries? Our daily bread, our needs, should not come before the honoring of His name and His kingdom. For the Lord knows what we have need of even before we ask of Him. We must always begin every prayer with, "Hallowed be thy name, my Lord and Savior, my God who is majestic, who is holy, who was and is to come." If we examine the Lord's Prayer closely, we will notice that the rest of this prayer, it is centered on His name and His kingdom. You can follow along in Matthew 6, 9 to 13. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." This is the primary focus of how Jesus taught us how to pray. "Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." We are to ask for our daily bread. We are to ask for the provision of the Lord. We are to ask for forgiveness. We are to even ask for the protection from the evil one. But church, every aspect of these prayers, every aspect of our lives is solely for the purpose of bringing glory to the Lord, is solely for the purpose of strengthening the kingdom of God. He wants to provide for us. He wants to deliver us from evil. He wants to watch over us and protect us. Yes, all of that is true, but He says it is for the sake of strengthening His kingdom. It is for the sake of bringing glory to His name alone. "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." The entire Lord's Prayer is centered on giving honor and worship to the name of the Lord, of bringing our focus to His kingdom, even in our desperate needs that arise. If the entire Lord's Prayer is centered on the holiness, the majesty, the power and the will of the Lord, we must absolutely bring every prayer into a reverent submission of who the Lord is and His will. "Hallowed be thy name, O Lord. You alone are worthy. You alone are able. You alone do we surrender our lives to. You alone do we look to. You alone do we surrender every need to for the sake of your glory, for the sake of your kingdom coming in my life, in my home, in my workplace, for the sake of your kingdom coming through me on earth as it is in heaven. This word hallowed, it means holy, sanctify, to separate from profane things and dedicate to God, to consecrate unto him. Hallowed in this particular verse, it is a declaration of who the Lord is. But in this declaration of who the Lord is, it should also bring a recognition and an evaluation to our own holy living. Hallowed be thy name. When we pray these words, it should release three aspects into our lives very quickly tonight. Number one, thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord. You see, what happens when we come before the Lord with our desperate needs and our desperate cries? But instead of rushing in with these first and foremost, if we were to take the time and say, hallowed be thy name, thou art worthy, O Lord. If we were to take the time, not just a quick moment to declare how wonderful and how glorious he is, but if we were to take several minutes in our prayers to revere him, to honor him, to say, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your majesty. We thank you for your power. We thank you that you are the God of heaven and earth, that you are the King of kings, that you are the Lord of lords. We look to you. We say, hallowed be thy name. You alone are worthy, O Lord. My, how we soar. My, how the very burden from the depths of our spirits begins to lift even before we have gotten to the place of praying for that need. The power of giving our praise unto the Lord, the power of declaring, thou art worthy, O Lord. There are not words to be able to explain the power. It must be experienced by every believer, by every child of God in our prayers. Many of the great leaders of the Bible understood the importance of giving praise to God at the beginning of their prayers. Many prayers are recorded to show us how the Lord inclines his ear, how he stirs the hearts of his people, how the very heavens are opened and his presence is poured out as they acknowledge his majesty, as they declare his might at the beginning of and during their prayers. 2 Kings 19, verses 15 to 20. Then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone. Then Isaiah, son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus says the Lord God of Israel, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. The Lord responds when we declare his majesty, when we declare that he alone is worthy and he alone is able. The second aspect that should be released in our lives as we pray the words, hallowed be thy name, is number two, thou art holy. Thou art holy, O God. One of the meanings of the word hallowed is translated to mean holy. And Jesus admonishes us to begin our prayers by saying, holy are you, O Lord. We look upon, we recognize, we declare that we stand in the very presence of a holy God. When we come before him, we stand upon holy ground. We enter into the very holy of holies. When we come before him, are we thankful for his beautiful, for his awe-inspiring, for his perfect holiness? As we magnify his holiness, as we stand upon the holy ground, as we bow our knee before his holy presence, there is a response that should be stirred within us at the same time. As we declare, holy are you, Lord, you are a holy God. There is a response that should come into our lives, that should come into our prayers at the same time. There should be a recognition, a reflection upon our own level of holiness that we are walking in. Hallowed be thy name. Thou art holy, O Lord. Should stir within us a holy urgency to rid our hearts and our minds of anything that might be displeasing to the Lord. There should be a holy urgency within us to rid our lives of anything that would hinder His power from moving in our prayers. I love the prophet Isaiah. He is a beautiful example of one who declared, one who saw the Lord's holiness, and who immediately became aware of his own need for personal holiness. Isaiah 6, 1-5, familiar verses to us. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, and one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And so I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." As we declare, "Hallowed be thy name," in our prayers, may a holy urgency be imparted so deep within our spirits. May a holy urgency be imparted so deep within us that it begins to shift the focus of our prayers, that it begins to change the manner in which we live to a manner that pleases and that blesses our Lord. Amen. According to 2 Corinthians 10, 4-6, James 5, 16, 1 Peter 3, verse 12, God looses his power over our prayers when we are obedient to godly living. There is a holy urgency, church, that the Spirit of the Lord is calling to us, a holy urgency to recognize God's holiness and to adjust our own level of holiness, that the doors of heaven would be opened over our prayers. And the third aspect that should be released into our lives as we pray, "Hallowed be thy name," is number three, a kingdom focus. Jesus admonishes us to pray, "Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We are given great examples in Scripture of when God opened the doors of heaven over these kinds of prayers. Nehemiah is a man who prayed with a kingdom focus. He understood the importance of declaring God's majesty. He looked to heaven for his wisdom, for breakthrough. In Nehemiah chapter 1, he receives the news that the walls of Jerusalem had been destroyed. They had been broken down, and the people of God were in great distress. In verse 5 and 6, he says, "I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenants and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servants, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you." In 1 Chronicles, we see King David as well. In this particular chapter, he is at the end of his life and at the end of his reign. And he calls to his palace all of his officials, the military leaders, the administrators. And this weakened, aged king stands to his feet to address them concerning the temple that is to be built during his son Solomon's reign. 1 Chronicles 29, 10-12. As we read this particular prayer, it actually bears a very strong resemblance in style and in its focus to the Lord's Prayer. He says, "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all." David exalted the Lord in this prayer. He gave honor and majesty to the one who was worthy of this praise. He gave him the highest honor that was due to his name, all the while praying for the strengthening of God's kingdom, for his will to be done. These are tremendous examples to us of prayers that incorporate the full meaning of "Hallowed be thy name," whereby the Lord inclines his ear. He opens up the doors of heaven and releases his power, his will, and the strengthening of his kingdom. You see, when we pray, "Hallowed be thy name," it strengthens our faith. Hey, joy is released into our spirits. Every anxiety, every fear, and every doubt is lifted as we declare, hallowed be thy name, O Lord God. When we declare these words, we receive the prayers of the Lord upon our hearts. We receive the heart of the Lord upon us. And that's why it shifts the focus of our prayers to pray according to what the Lord would have us to pray. We declare your name to be above every other name. Your name alone is great. We lavish our highest adoration and our thanksgiving upon you, O Lord. Church, let the hallowed be thy name rise in your spirit tonight. Let the hallowed be thy name pour forth in a greater faith, in a greater awe-inspiring reverence tonight. Perhaps we need to come back to this place in our lives where we do not rush into his presence with our needs and our requests. He cares about those, yes. But where we come first and foremost and we say, hallowed be thy name. You alone are worthy. You alone are holy. Let your kingdom come through these needs. Let your will be done through these needs that I am bringing to you. Let it pour forth from us. Let the cross be upon our hearts as we enter his presence and come to him with our prayers. Let his mercy, let his grace. How many here have experienced a bit of the grace of the Lord? How many have experienced the faithfulness and the provision of the Lord in your life at one time or another? Let your heart be filled with this as you pray to him, as we bring our requests to him. Think of how he searches after you. Think of how his heart and his mind is upon you and I every day, at all times. Let the praise arise. If we do not praise, the rocks will surely cry out. You see, nothing should hinder our declaration of praise unto our Lord God Almighty. Nothing should hinder us spending time in our prayers declaring, hallowed be thy name. Thou art worthy. Thou art holy, O God. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven in the name of Jesus. For we know that when the name of Jesus is invoked, that every enemy flees. When the name of Jesus is upon our hearts and pours forth from our mouths, every enemy bows at the name of Jesus. When the name of Jesus is invoked, he is pleased, he is blessed, he is honored. And there should be a greater stirring within us to invoke the name of Jesus, to say that we love you, Jesus, and we pour our adoration, we pour our praise unto you for all that you are and all that you have done in our lives. When the name of Jesus is invoked, the doors of heaven open up and the Lord inclines his ear to our prayers. Therefore, when we pray for our workplace, that the Lord would guide us, that he would give us wisdom, that he would pour into us and provide for us, the first thing we pray is, hallowed be thy name, O Lord. Let your kingdom come through me in my workplace. Let your will be done in my workplace. And then we pray that he would loose his word over our workplace. When we pray for the salvation of a loved one, hallowed be thy name, O Lord. You alone are mighty. You alone are able to save. Let your heart come upon me for this loved one. Let your heart come upon me for my neighbor, for the people that you have placed in my life. Let me pray according to what you feel. Let me pray according to what you want to do in this person's life. For you alone are mighty. You alone are able to save. We declare this in the name of Jesus first and foremost. And then we pray that he would loose his word, that he would cause his salvation to come. When you stand in the doorway of your children's bedrooms at night, or you go to your knees inquiring after God, that he would release a spiritual hunger upon those children, that he would release a spiritual hunger upon his church, that we would be protected from the evil one, that each child would grow up in the house of the Lord and be as pillars and warriors for his kingdom. We declare these words first and foremost, hallowed be thy name, O Lord Almighty. You alone are worthy. You alone are able. This is your will, O God, and we give you the majesty. We give you all of the glory. Our desire is to lay our lives before you. Our desire is to make your name great. Church, when we pray this, then we go to the Lord and we say, let your word be loosed according to your will. You are able, because of your great love, because of your faithfulness, because of your grace and your mercy upon our lives. Come on, we pour this upon our Lord and Savior. We pour this upon our mighty King, upon the King of Kings, upon the Lord God, upon the one whose name is above every other name. We give him the glory at all times. We seek his face before his provision. We seek after blessing our Lord, after him being pleased in our prayers, in our praise unto him. Let's have the worship team return at this time. We do pray the word of the Lord over situations, but we give honor, we give exaltation to God Almighty, for he alone is in heaven. He alone is reigning and ruling, and he is ready to open the doors of heaven over his church. I want to close with this verse tonight in Romans 8, 34. It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Perhaps you need a fresh impartation of this truth for your life tonight, for your home, for where you find yourself. A fresh revelation of the power of this truth, that Jesus Christ is interceding, that he is praying. He is fighting for us to succeed in our spiritual living. May we receive this truth that Jesus is thinking about you. He is thinking about me. He is watching over us. He is praying right now at the right hands of God. At all times for you and I, he is praying that his perfect will would be done. He is praying for a greater fervency to be awakened in our spirits, for the spiritual key of knowledge to come upon our lives, that we would get into the word, that we would gain deeper understanding of the urgency of our prayers. This is what he is praying. He is praying that we would seek after him, that we would lay everything aside for the call of Christ, for the cause of Christ, for his kingdom to come. He is praying that there would be a holy urgency that would grip our lives, that would grip our prayers, church, that would grip our spirits, for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. The fact that he is interceding for you and I at all times, it ought to stir something within us. It ought to cause us to declare in a loud voice, in all humility, in all surrender, in awe-inspired reverence, hallowed be thy name, O Lord. Thou art worthy. Thou art holy. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in this church, in this generation, for your name and your glory alone. Are you moved, church? Are you moved in your spirit tonight that Jesus is fighting for you, that he is praying for you, that he is looking to your spiritual victory, to your spiritual success? And would it cause you to sharpen your prayers, to prophesy his word? Hallowed be thy name is meant to invoke a humility and a surrender to his name, to his kingdom, and to his will. These are the kinds of prayers that open up the doors of heaven. I want to close tonight with this particular quote from Charles Spurgeon. He said, "Oh, to get such a grip of the truth of God as that old warrior had of his sword, so that when he fought and conquered, he could not separate his hand and his sword, for his hand clung to his sword as if it were glued to it. It is a blessed thing to get hold of the doctrine of Christ in such a way that you would have to be dismembered before it could be taken from you, for it has grown into your very self. Mind, you have a sure hold of your sure anchor." It has been said of Charles Spurgeon's prayer life that prayer was the instinct of his soul and the atmosphere of his life. It was his vital breath and native air, how naturally he inhaled and exhaled. Would you say tonight that you want the word of God to be so gripped to your hands at all times, that you want the word of God to be so deeply rooted in your spirit, upon your mind, that the only thing that we pray is the word of God? The only thing that we seek after is the glory of the Lord, that his name would be made great, I pray tonight that prayer would be the very atmosphere of our lives. Can you say amen to that? Let prayer be the very atmosphere of our lives in the name of Jesus. Let's stand together. We pray tonight that the Word of God would be so deep within our hearts and deeply memorized in our minds that for every situation, the only thing we do is pray that by His mercy and for His glory, He would loose His Word over situations. Let's pray together tonight. Lord, we receive the call from your word regarding our prayers that open the doors of heaven over us. Cause us to pray according to who the power of Christ is. Holy Spirit, help us to bind the spiritual powers of darkness. Holy Spirit, stir us. Open up the spiritual key of knowledge that we would have a greater understanding of the word of God and which scriptures we are called to pray over certain situations, O Lord. Pray tonight, oh God, that you would loose your word by your grace and your authority. Reveal to us the importance. Impart a holy urgency within every single person in this house tonight. Lord, I pray that you would do only what you can do tonight. Holy Spirit, right now, I'm asking that you would release a holy urgency within every single heart. Within every life tonight, oh God, that it would bring us to our knees, that it would cause us to shift our prayers, that it would cause us to live in a manner that is pleasing and that blesses you tonight. In the name of Jesus, I pray. God, I ask tonight that you would lay upon us as we worship you, as we lift up your name. God, I pray that in these moments, that we, as we take the time, that you would lay upon us your heart, that you would lay upon us the very things that you would cause us to pray for, oh God. We lay aside our own needs. We lay aside our own requests. And we say, oh God, we want to pray your prayers. We want to pray according to what you would call us to pray for. I pray tonight, oh Lord, that a greater spirit of intercession would be released in the name of Jesus. That, oh God, tonight, Lord, that a holy urgency in our prayers would be released for your glory, for your name's sake alone. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. We're going to worship the Lord. If you have need of prayer for anything tonight, we invite you to come. We would love to pray with you. If you are here tonight and you do not know the Lord, it's time to give your life to the Lord. Jesus is calling you home tonight. We encourage you to come. We have a Bible that we would love to give to you. Do not leave tonight. Do not leave tonight without responding to the Lord in some way. Where you are, come to the altar. We would love to pray with you. But let's lift up the name of the Lord tonight. Let's celebrate and rejoice in who the Lord God Almighty is tonight. Amen.